So the lesson of both the first reading and today's gospel is that God hears the prayer of the humble heart. God hears the prayer of the humble heart. St. Peter reminds us, quote, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, end quote. So that begs the question, is our prayer proud or is our prayer humble? Does it sound more like the Pharisee or does it sound more like the tax collector? At least this Pharisee and tax collector, because remember back in the day, in the time of Jesus, the Pharisees were seen as the holy ones and the tax collectors were the betrayers. They were seen as sellouts because they made their money off of charging more than the Roman Empire taxed everybody. So they made their money off of the people. Not only that, but they gave it to the Roman Empire who were oppressing them. So as we heard, the Pharisee, this Pharisee at least, is totally full of himself. Just listen to how Jesus describes that Pharisee. The Pharisee took up his position, right? And you can, this one pictures it pretty well here, right? And spoke this prayer to himself. He spoke this prayer to whom? To himself. So he's coming into God's temple. He's not even speaking to God, but he's there just to affirm his own righteousness. He's so full of himself that he's directing this prayer to himself. In other words, he has made himself his own God. And what is his prayer, this prayer that he's directing to himself? He says, Oh God, i.e. himself, I thank you that I am not like the rest of the humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector over here. I'm not pointing at anybody over here. Over this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes on my whole income. So this picture that Jesus is painting is an exemplar of someone who is what? Self-righteous. He sees that his righteousness doesn't come from God's mercy, but his own actions, which he attributes to his own person, to his own powers. And that is what has made him righteous. So it's almost like forcing God's hand, isn't it? Like he's saying, I deserve this. So he may be doing all the right exterior actions, but you also need the right motives, right? You need both the motive and the action to be good. So for example, he doesn't see his fasting and his paying tithes on his whole income as expressions of thanksgiving to God, but as a way to earn his way and as a way to place himself above others and look down upon them. I mean, is there any room for God to enter into someone who is already so full of himself? He can't, right? And if you could earn your way, make yourself righteous, then there is no need for that. That's superfluous if we could actually earn our righteousness without God. So how in the world can God reach someone who feels like they're already perfect? Because of his pride, this Pharisee is much further away from realizing his complete dependence and need for God's mercy. So instead, it's the sinful tax collector who actually may be materially wealthy, but realizes his utter poverty without God. The tax collector says, beat his breast and prayed, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, it's the one who entered the temple recognizing his sinfulness that Jesus says went home justified, righteous, declared righteous, because he recognized his desperate need for God's mercy and grace. By the way, does that sound familiar? The tax collector beat his breast and prayed, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. With the penitential rite that we begin every single Holy Mass with, we recognize the purpose of that penitential rite is recognizing our utter poverty and our utter need for God's mercy. Right? And when we use that first option of the penitential rite called the Confiteor, it's just Latin for the first words, I confess, I confess to Almighty God, we imitate the tax collector. This is the gospel that Jesus upholds for that part of the Mass. We look to this gospel. When we say, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. In other words, we stay away, we emphasize it three times because we're repenting from playing any blame game that seems the whole world plays. You know, we don't make any progress because everybody's blaming everybody else for the division, the chaos, the state of our world. But when we come before God who cannot be fooled, we recognize that we too have contributed to the strife in our world through our own sins against God and those around us. Right? And by the way, it's not just the priests who are supposed to beat their breast during that time. If we mean that prayer and in honor of Jesus' teaching in today's gospel, each of us are to beat our breast during those words, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. And so let that striking of our breast be a wake-up call so that we don't go into Mass just going through the motions, you know. But let that striking of our breast be a reminder to us of our utter need for God, and thus to open our hearts to receive His mercy and His grace. Because our internal disposition when we come into Holy Mass is absolutely critical if we are to receive all that God wants for us at Mass. And so hopefully the Confiteor, sincerely prayed, helps us to enter into that necessary disposition of humility and receptivity for all God wants to give us. Because he wants us to be humble and receptive, not because he wants us to feel down on ourselves, but because he wants to fill us. Right? See, in Jesus and in the sacraments, God gives us everything. Because in giving us Jesus, he has given us everything. God isn't some stingy deity, you know, waiting for us to grovel before him before he answers our prayers. No, at every Mass, God gives us the gift of his very self. Ex opere operato. Right? Without fail, God's life, very life and power is objectively given to us. But the subjective reception of that life and that divine power, the extent to which God's life and power affects our lives, is dependent on the receptivity of each person. That's ex opere operantis, the subjective disposition of each person. Are we receptive? Have we recognized our desperate need? And have we subjectively opened ourselves to the life of grace that is poured forth from the cross? We're brought to Calvary right here in this altar, right? We won't get anything out of Mass if we're just going through the motions. You know, we'll just be twiddling our thumbs waiting for Mass to be over. If our pride and in our lukewarmness, we don't see our need, our utter need for God. See, this is why humility is the queen of all virtues. She's the one that opens the door to all the other virtues. Think of humility as the opening of your heart to the mercy and the power that God wants to give you. Right? In Jesus, in the sacraments, in every Mass we celebrate, God sends this torrent of mercy and power upon you. But when it comes to us, are the floodgates of our hearts open or closed? Are those floodgates closed by pride, preventing God's grace from coming in? Or are they open by humility, like this tax collector? Just one example from this past week. I got really angry and lost my cool with someone to the point where I had to walk out of the room. But I went immediately to the chapel before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. I was praying night prayer there with Father Brian, and the scripture reading for Compline was short and to the point, cut to the heart. It was two verses from Ephesians. Quote, "If you are angry, let it be without sin. The sun must not go down on your wrath. Do not give the devil a chance to work on you." End quote. So when I heard that, I was cut to the heart. I had two options, right? I could have stayed in my pride, allowed the pride, even though Jesus was delivering his grace, I could have just closed, stayed in my pride and stopped that torrent of God's grace in his word, to stop right at the floodgates, the closed floodgates of my heart. Or I could be more like the tax collector in the gospel, recognize my utter need and open those floodgates with humility. So I pried open those gates and invited the Lord to quell my anger with his mercy. And it's at that point that I sensed the Lord move my heart to reach out that very night to apologize to this person. See, it's not that the Lord doesn't give us all we need, for in giving us Jesus, he gives us everything, right? It's a matter of whether or not we have the humility to open ourselves to receive it. That's why we need a daily prayer life, because it's prayer that expands the capacity of our hearts to receive all that God has already given. This is why it's so crucial to have a daily prayer life. It's because prayer is that process of opening up the floodgates, humbling ourselves before the Lord. And it doesn't happen so that if you do it once, it just remains open. We got to go there daily and make that opening. And so maybe you recognize that you too can have a proud heart at times, and so you desire that humility, but you don't know necessarily how to begin to cultivate it. And I want to share with you what has helped me with that. And it's the secret of many saints like St. John Paul the Great, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and countless others. And that secret is a person. It's our Blessed Virgin Mary, or Mama Mary as I like to call her. And the secret is not just having a prayerful relationship with her, it's consecrating yourself entirely to Jesus through Mary, entrusting yourself completely to her maternal care and her guidance. The way St. John Paul the Great put it in his papal motto, if you remember his papal motto, underneath it said, what, the words in Latin, totus tuus Maria. Totally yours, Mary. I'm completely, entirely yours, Mary, to do with what you will. And in making ourselves totally hers, we surrender ourselves more completely to her son, Jesus. Because Mary's entire existence was to give the world her son. This consecration, Marian consecration, it's hard for some of our Protestant brethren to understand, right? They think, I'll go just directly to Jesus, thank you. But the way it's played out in my life is that before my Marian consecration, my prayer took the flavor of, what can you do for me, Jesus? What needs can you fulfill in my life, Jesus? But after that Marian consecration, and as she allowing Mama Mary to work in my heart, my prayer took more the flavor of, what can I do for you, Jesus? How can I console your sacred heart? How can I help satisfy your thirst for souls? All right. In other words, she bore the fruit of her womb, Jesus, who lived and gave his life for others. She bore that fruit of Jesus specifically in me. And he wants to do it in you. I'm sure she's already began that work for you who have Marian devotion in your life. She taught me to see Jesus less with my own selfish eyes and more through the eyes of a selfless mother. In other words, she shared with me her more perfect love of Jesus to substitute for my deficient love of Jesus. So by no means am I there of a perfect love for Jesus, but I would be much further away without her, which is why St. Louis de Montfort said that consecration to Jesus through Mary constitutes the surest, the easiest, the shortest, and the most perfect means to becoming a saint. And all of us are destined to be one. There's nobody in heaven that's not a saint, right? So it's got to happen at some time. Better happen now rather than in purgatory. Because one of our greatest pains, if we wait until purgatory, one of our greatest pains in purgatory will be the sadness of not having accomplished the mission God has set before us in this world. For us individually, God has a mission for you. And the remorse for not having accomplished that vision, that mission, will be great. So I want to give our whole parish family the opportunity to do this consecration to Jesus through Mary. But it's not just one simple prayer that we say in our heart and that's it. right? We have to take some preparation time to cultivate more of her and her love of Jesus into us, to block out time to spiritually prepare for this consecration with greater devotion. And the traditional amount of preparation time for a Marian consecration for centuries now has been 33 days. 33 days of preparation. And for those 33 days, we have a booklet of meditations to guide you along. There's different methods of, you know, St. Louis de Montfort's preparation is probably traditionally the most popular one, but the most popular one because of its accessibility and understandability is this one, 33 Days to Morning Glory. This has been wildly popular in the last few years, several years now. And so that's what you have at the end of your pews this morning. So if the folks at the end of the pews offer them to the other people in the pew, and you'll notice that for each of those 33 days, as you kind of skim through it, you'll see there that we do the work of sowing and cultivating a daily prayer life by reflecting on a meditation that sometimes it's not even a page long, right? So the short length of the daily meditation is great for those who are just starting a daily prayer life. Hopefully you've cultivated that. We've been emphasizing that throughout this year of prayer, the importance of that daily prayer life. So after prayerfully reflecting upon a meditation for each of the 33 days, on the 34th day, you would pray to totally consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary. And it's traditional to choose a specific Marian feast day for that consecration day. So if you'd like to do it in solidarity with your fellow parishioners, we're going to begin a Marian consecration period on Saturday, November 9th, and end the daily meditations on Wednesday, December 11th, which is the eve of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the Americas. Now, what I've been talking about is a personal consecration to Jesus through Mary, but as we are in our last couple of months of this year of prayer that our whole diocese has been observing, our Bishop Earl Boyer has encouraged all parishes to consecrate their entire parish to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So not just personally on an individual level, but collectively as a parish to consecrate St. John Parish to Our Lady. So we'll be doing that on December 12th. So we moved our O Come Let Us Adore that we normally have on a Friday. We're transferring that to Thursday evening on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And on top of that normal holy hour, we're going to do a consecration of the parish to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So hopefully you'll take part in that. And speaking about, or finally, I should say, I want to encourage everyone to register for this day of equipping that's coming next Saturday, November 2nd, All Souls Day. Day of equipping. You know, we've in this year of prayer, we have received so much, but if we don't use it, it'll be taken away, right? We've been receiving the good news. We've been receiving graces. We've been growing in our faith, and I sense the time has now come for us to share it, lest it be taken away, right? That our Lord wants us to share it with the rest of Jackson, mobilizing his lay faithful to seek the lost, because there's so much brokenness out there. There's so much woundedness out there that needs healing, the Lord's healing. Brokenness and woundedness in our society, in our families, and in individual lives. And it all stems from our turning away from God, in whom we find the fulfillment of all desire. And so God wants his people back. And since they aren't going to darken the doors of this church by themselves, Jesus has charged us, his lay faithful, to go out there and get them. But we have to be equipped. Equipped not only in our Catholic faith and in our faith formation intellectually, and we have many opportunities for that each Wednesday night and other opportunities, Sunday nights, but we need to be equipped to be comfortable to pray with people. That's often a much less threatening intellectual religious conversation, right? Can I pray for you? In fact, do you mind if we pray right now? Can I pray for you? And the day of equipping will help you be comfortable with that. Because Jesus just doesn't want people, if they're not going to encounter him here, we got to bring Jesus out there so that they have a felt experience of his grace and his working in their life. And you can do that by being comfortable with praying with people. Because Jesus does want you to be an agent of his healing. All right? That's the whole existence of the church. Pope Paul VI said that the church exists to evangelize, to bring that healing of Jesus in a wounded world. So I encourage you to register for the Day of Equipping on next Saturday, November 2nd. Thank you.